And it's not just the automakers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. With Chrysler in bankruptcy and GM on the brink, there's been a lot of hand-wringing about the fate of auto parts suppliers. We might be getting a better sense of how they're doing. This morning, the parts maker Visteon filed for bankruptcy protection. From Washington, Tamara Keith has more.
Visteon's CEO said in a statement the company's capital structure and legacy costs aren't sustainable given the current economic climate. In other words, people aren't buying as many cars, manufacturers aren't making as many, and suppliers like Visteon are suffering. The company makes climate control systems and other electronics. According to bankruptcy filings, it has about $4.5 billion in assets and $5.3 billion in debt. Until the year 2000, it was a subsidiary of Ford, and the automaker is still its largest customer, though Visteon also supplies Chrysler, Honda, and Nissan, among others. The supplier says Ford will back it financially as it continues to operate through the bankruptcy. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
The European Commission says it'll host talks tomorrow to coordinate government efforts to save General Motors' European operations. All-night talks in Berlin on the future of Opel failed to make any headway. Stocks took a hit yesterday after GM looks like it's closer to bankruptcy. The S&P 500 dropped about 17 points, nearly 2%. So did the Dow, about 2% as well, 173 points. And the NASDAQ fell about 1%. Asian markets were mixed, but the Hang Seng and Nikkei managed gains. European shares are lower right now. London, Frankfurt, and Paris shares off by under 1% right now. It is auction day for the Treasury Department, looking to sell $26 billion in government bonds today. It's the third Treasury auction this week. The bond du jour is the seven-year note, and that yield on those bonds just keeps rising to numbers not seen since late last year. And that comes amid fresh concerns about inflation. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Jim Bianco follows the bond market closely. He's president of Bianco Research in Chicago. And right now, he says, investors are worried about the federal deficit, which is expected to hit $1.75 trillion this year.
The government can finance about half of that through the collection of taxes, meaning that it has to borrow somewhere around $1 trillion or thereabout. That is a big number, and that is a big concern.
The yield on the 10-year note now sits at a six-month high. That's because investors fear that inflation will dilute the value of the dollars they're lending the government, so the government has to pay more to borrow money. Bianco says, yes, the yield is still below where it was last summer, but
it's the speed at which yields have been rising, especially over the last week or two. It was only 10 or 12 days ago that yields were barely above 3%. Now they're at 3.75%. In just a couple of days.
And keep in mind, the Fed has increased its purchases of U.S. Treasuries in recent months in an attempt to keep yields low. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Staying in Manhattan, maybe you remember the piano that keeps people hopping? That's a scene from the movie Big where Tom Hanks and Robert Loggia play chopsticks on that giant illuminated piano on the floor of FAO Schwartz. Now that piano belongs to someone else. Retail chain Toys R Us said today it bought FAO. No word on how much it paid, but the Toys R Us CEO said his company plans to keep the catalog and the stores and build on the brand.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Later this morning, we get word on new home sales. It'll be yet another number thrown into a big bowl of barometers. And while overall housing numbers have been pretty bleak, a lot of the data points in different directions. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now to try and sort it all out, provide a little context this morning. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So how bad is this housing market?
Well, it's bad, but it's not as bad as it could be. It's really the story of this economy. Think of all the numbers that we get every week that have been coming out. And what do those numbers tell us? things aren't as bad as they were. They're less bad. And that's the story of the real estate market.
But we've got all these barometers, Chris. The Case-Shiller home price index down. We've got the mortgage applications down. The sales are modestly going up. I mean, what are we to make of all of these numbers?
What I would make of it, it's a market that's starting to find its bottom, that's starting to stabilize. Because you know what? There's no bell that goes off and says, market hit bottom, start buying. So prices keep going down, but sales pick up. That, to me, is a sign of a bottom, which, by the way, can go on for several months.
So it could be an extended time of...
Absolutely. It could be that the market just scrapes along at the level that it's around right now for a considerable period of time.
What kind of anecdotes are we looking for? What should we be looking for going forward in this housing market?
Look, here's the anecdote that I really want to hear, and I'm not hearing right now. A lot of the activity is happening in the foreclosure side of the market. You have first-time home buyers, people taking advantage of the $8,000 tax credit, and they're buying the cheaper homes. What isn't happening is what we call the move-up side of the market. You have more children. Space is crowded. You want a bigger home. You know, that's a really important part of the market, and we're not seeing that.
People are just staying put.
People are staying put. So until you start hearing those stories about, well, I'm going to take that job elsewhere, and therefore I'm going to sell my home and move. Or, you know what, I'm just going to move to a nicer place. Until you hear those stories, we haven't hit bottom.
All right. Our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, joining us this morning. Chris, thanks.
Thanks.
Finally, German authorities are pulling Red Bull Simply Cola from its shelves. They say the drink, called Simply Cola, may have trace amounts of cocaine. The beverage has been marketed in some U.S. states and abroad to compete with Coke and Pepsi. The Wall Street Journal reports it would take 100,000 liters of Simply Cola to be harmful to anybody. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.